Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 acid popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, January 9th, 2022. And my guest today are two returning champs and a powerful contender. It's Chad Opitz, David Sanborn, and Greg Wyszynski. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
Wee.
Hello.
Wee.
I think you all arrived here, gentlemen, but you're going to, one of you is going to leave a lady.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
right. Okay.
Or something like that.
What a bargain.
I don't know how that expression goes. Let's meet everybody individually and alphabetically, starting with San Francisco comedy phenom, Chad. I'm going to try a nickname if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it.
Chad Tuck and Roll Open.
Whoa, that's a good nickname. Very apropos.
Yeah, because you're great at tucking and rolling.
Tucking and or rolling, yes.
Yeah,
you made me do it like 4 times in a show once.
I cherish. It's like almost like an NFT, the gif I have of you rolling across the stage, and I believe it was Sacramento.
Yes.
But what we need to discuss is San Francisco, because I was going to see you next weekend at Sketchfest. You were going to participate in one of my shows there. And that Sketchfest got kicked to a year and a week later. So if you have tickets to any of my shows, they're good for a year and a week from now.
I love that they hit us up and they were like, are you free in February 2023? Like, yeah, pretty sure.
Yeah. Well, mine's going to be late January because my shows were going to be January 15, 16. So next year, they'll be January 20 something. But anyway, keep an eye out for that. But in the meantime, since I had an airplane ticket and I love San Francisco and was bummed that I wasn't going for Sketchfest, I'm just going to do two stand-up shows with local comics, great local comics, including Chad. That's going to be this Saturday, January 15th at 7:30 and 9:45 at the world famous Saved by Being a Landmark or some shit, San Francisco Punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Plus I'm encouraging people to not come because the less people that are there, the safer it'll be.
Well, then what are you doing? What are you mentioning it for?
I have to mention it. I'm obligated to mention it, but I'm also not obligated to say that I think it's a good idea for you to come.
That's true. Don't be there.
Well, I'm going to do a show no matter what. So I just hope, you know, I hope some nice people show up and that they think it's worth it. Mm-hmm. But thank you for being here, Chad.
Thank you for having
me. And no matter what happens today, I'm going to see you on Saturday.
Yes, sir.
Also joining us, a dangling champ living the life of a champ in San Diego, the great city of San Diego. It's David Sanborn. Hello, David.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. You, in case your opponents, Greg and Chad, don't know, we met David at the San Diego American Comedy Company show a while back when we had audience members compete to become a guest on the show, and David won not only that competition, but then he went on to beat my guests on stage and became a dangling champ. And then I believe it was like a week ago, took on some more people via the Homes Alone edition and won that one. So And then, of course, let me just skip right to him as long as I'm on a sentence with his name in it. also, a dangling champ today is our friend who has won, I think, in the last two or three, not attempts, successes, and was the winner of 12 Guests of Christmas in December. In New York, and it's just been steamrolling ever since. Can't get rid of him. Greg Wyszynski. Hey, Greg.
Can't get rid of him. My God. the herpes of Doug Loves Movies. My goodness. Thanks for having me again, Doug.
Yeah. Slapshot. You can't get rid of him.
Clearly.
That's your tagline and your nickname.
It's been a good run, Doug. I have to credit Blind Luck and good sequencing on some of these games.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is you never know what's going to be thrown at you, but David Sanborn has taken it on twice. Chad Opitz, have you ever, you must have won on an episode or two of this show.
I think I've won half. I think I've done one 4 of 8.
Wow. Yeah, there you
go.
Not
bad.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not returning to us now as a champ, but who knows what's going to happen today? That's the big question. Greg Wyszynski, what you were making it sound like you were feeling like your run might end today.
Why, Greg?
Well, I feel like, Doug, I know you're a bit of a Jeopardy guy. I feel like one of these super mega champions that goes on these million-dollar runs, and then the worm turns and you stop rooting for them and start wondering, all right, when's the next person coming up? I feel like I'm in that range now. I've won my million, and now the world is turning on Amy to get her off the show.
Yeah, I mean, I worry that there's a lot more than just the, you know, just they're tired of the same champion as a reason to want Amy out of there. I think I would like it to be a show called who can try to beat Amy or something like that. And she's just there all the time. Cause it feels like that's what's going to happen now. It feels like the closest, what I really want to see, and I don't want to get too far inside Jeopardy here for our listeners, but what I want to see is, you know, Amy Schneider and Matt Amodio competing with one another.
What I really want to see is a real threat to any Ken Jennings record while he's hosting the show, and just get that dynamic. Like she gets within $10 of his record or something.
He does then, really, he dwells on it at the top of each show, like how great she's doing. And it's, I think it just adds extra pressure to the other two contestants. Cause each time he just comes out and talks about what new record she's broken, you know, and it's tough. And, you know, they tape like 5 episodes a day, but they only have one, time period where they let all the contestants practice on the buzzer, and that's before the first taping. So if you get bad luck of the draw and you're in the fifth taping, you're going up against Amy after she's played four times on the buzzer and you've only practiced with it earlier that morning. So it's a real uphill battle. It's going to be interesting. I think that's why Imodio lasted so long. I think it's just, you know, it's tough going in against a Goliath, you know.
But to reiterate, I think I've reached the get this shithead out of here level of victory.
All right. You're no shithead to you know, that's shitheads were a thing we've talked about a lot in the past on this show. And now we're trying to have a more positive attitude. But it's still a funny expression, no matter how you slice it. Before these games, it's exciting. I'm excited about the games today. I'm always excited, but today is special to me because I think I really don't know who's going to win. I also don't know what movies you gentlemen are going to recommend, because I'd like to visit Recommendation Nation. That's where each guest recommends one movie and one movie alone to go up against whatever else gets recommended in the, you know, the heap of movies that people are intending to watch, but they never get to. What's your recommendation, Mr. Chad Opitz?
I would recommend The Green Knight, which I rewatched again recently. And I really liked that movie. And I'm not going to lie, I did not know what the hell was going on for most of the time. But I just enjoyed it visually. I thought the acting was good. And it left an impression on me. So I would recommend giving it a view.
Yeah, it like hypnotized you into recommending it. You don't even know what was happening. But you know you liked it and that others will like it.
Yes, I liked it a lot, actually.
Yeah. Dev Patel.
Yes, and he's got phenomenal eyebrows, that guy.
He really does have terrific
he's got eyebrows. Phenomenal eyebrows. Transfixed me to the screen. It's a powerful set of brows.
Yeah, they're a good matchup for the stone monster or whatever. All right, so we got The Green Knight. It's an interesting movie. It's I didn't know what to expect, and I still, after having seen it, don't know what to have expected.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could even describe it if forced to. Let's move on to David Sanborn. Do you have a recommendation for us this time?
I do. I'm going to recommend the movie Mid-90s. It's like Jonah Hill's directorial debut about skateboard culture in the mid-90s.
I believe this is an interesting one because I think it's come up at least once or twice before on this show. There's something about that movie, the people that are into it, it really sticks with them.
I really enjoyed it because, you know, as a kid, I was cool enough to like play Tony Hawk Pro Skater, but not cool enough to actually skateboard. And watching this movie made me feel like I was cool again to play, you know, playing the video game of skateboarding.
Yeah, but who knew that he had it in him directing, you know, a movie about, you know, skater kids. I mean, I'm talking about Jonah Hill, of course. And I hope he directs more movies. It's well done.
Yeah, I really liked it. I watch it like once a year since it's come out. It gives me like a nice little, I don't know, cool factor, I guess.
Have you seen North Hollywood?
I haven't.
I have not as well. We need to see it, David, because skater friends of mine insist that it's as good or better than mid-90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, exactly. That's my, I have a very quizzical attached to that, and I am going to check it out. So I've heard from several sources that it's good, and it's got iCarly's in it, so you know you can't lose.
All right,
is she skateboarding in it?
I don't know. I think she probably plays like somebody's disapproving sister or something.
Okay, God, I hope she skateboards.
She's there catching it for her web series.
Yeah.
All right, so let's go to Greg. What do you... You tend to... I don't know where you get your ideas for recommendations from. It feels like things that are going on in your life are kind of a factor.
They are, but I don't sleep much. So like there's a lot of stuff I come across randomly at night. So this one though, like the last, the new Matrix movie that came out was sort of a very meta exploration of making Matrix movies. And that plus the fact there's a new Scream movie coming out made me revisit Wes Craven's New Nightmare,
Which was the
movie came out in 94. It was famous for being the first sort of meta sequel. It's a movie about making Freddy Krueger movies and this notion of like Freddy Krueger being a real like scary demon entity that's like haunting these movies. And it's got like the real people from the first Nightmare on Elm Street playing themselves. And it's a fascinating... I don't know if it's all that successful, but it's a fascinating sort of commentary on itself and on making horror movies and on the trauma that horror movies have on the people that make them. And the Matrix movie made me think about that movie a lot because the Matrix movie is basically just all about making a Matrix sequel. It holds up. It's pretty good. It's such a curveball of a sequel that I think it's worth checking out if you haven't seen it.
Wes Craven's New Nightmare.
Apparently,
it's really good.
Apparently, if you get the novelization of that movie, there's like little inserts of Freddy Krueger like haunting the writer of the novel like, with the actual movie. I've always wanted to track it down, but I haven't found it.
So they do like another level of meta within the book.
Yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome. Yeah, it's cool. And I think you could like you could look at that flick and then kind of draw a through line directly to Scream becoming a thing, you know, mm-hmm. of sort of commentary on the horror genre within a horror movie. And so it's an important movie. I don't know if it's not completely successful, but it's definitely a curiosity and a pretty influential flick, I think.
Well, I'm curious to see which of these three, you know, our listeners are most into, because they're, you know, three movies that a lot of people like. If I was forced to pick one, like if I had to like sit down and watch one right now, I go mid-90s, but that's just sort of the movie just hit me that sort of way that I just, there's something about it. It's just, there's some unpleasantness in it, like between the brothers and stuff, but like, I don't know, something about the overall vibe of it is just so cheerful, or, you know, it's uplifting, I feel. But like I said, these movies are all quality cinematic experiences. Let the best one win. There's nothing to win, really. Wes Craven isn't even alive. So.
Thanks for reminding us, Doug.
If I see Jonah Hill, I'll be like, hey, your movie went up against two other movies in a poll that I did. And do you want to know how it did? Jonah, where are you going? All right. Great job, everybody. Time to take a break and come back with some games. We'll be right back.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are back, and it is game time. Yeah, there you go. I can't do it.
That was really good. You can't wait. You can't do a trumpet noise. Oh man, trumpet noise is one of my few virtues.
Damn.
There. Oh, that is very good. Right? Isn't that
which,
great?
Yeah. Which hole is that?
I'll never tell.
Yeah, that had a real interesting sound to it. All right, so we're gonna play our first game today. I'm so excited about this game. It came to me while I was watching television. The game is called Drag Race Me to Hell. Whoa. Yeah, what? I was watching RuPaul's Drag Race, the season premiere, and I thought of this game. Go Cornbread is all I have to say about the new season.
Is there a contestant named Cornbread?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah, it sure is. All right. So here's how the game works. I'll say a fun or otherwise, basically just a fact about a movie. And you tell me if that fact is in regards to the motion picture Drag Me to Hell from 2009. Is that right? 2009? No, that's not right.
That sounds right to me.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 2009. Right after Spider-Man.
Yeah, 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 and or Rat Race from 2001.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very, very specific.
Or yeah, exactly. Or both. So each of these facts will be about Drag Me to Hell or Rat Race or both. Chad gets to go first. If he misses on this first one, David gets to guess. If he misses, Greg gets a gimme, and so on. First to 2 points wins. Good luck. Good luck in Drag Race Me to Hell. Chad.
Yes.
Rated PG. 13. Is that Drag Me to Hell, Rat Race, or both?
I will say both.
You think that both horror film Drag Me to Hell,
yes,
and slapstick comedy Rat Race, do you think both of those films are rated PG-13?
I'm going to say yes.
Okay, that's your answer. Here we go. Yes. Let's put it in the answer machine, see what noise it makes.
Oh.
That is correct.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Rated PG-13 for excessive smash mouth.
Yeah, that's for the Rat Race movie. Yeah, that makes sense. Doesn't Smash Mouth physically appear in the movie?
Yeah, at the very end, they sing All Star.
There you go, yeah. I mean, that's what all good races end with is
performance by Smash Mouth. That's your winnings.
A 4-minute concert because it's just that song, and then when they start the next song, people start booing, and then the lead singer starts fighting people in the crowd.
they raced across the country to attend a Smash Mouth concert.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so David, you got to go first on this next one. Did you think you knew that one, that they were both PG-13?
I had a feeling. I know for sure Drag Me to Hell was, and I was just gonna guess that Rat Race was.
Drag Me to Hell is the most bodily fluids you could put in a movie and still get a PG-13.
Yeah, yeah.
it's so gross without being bloody. It's so weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing they're looking for is blood. And then Rat Race has that like R-rated vibe to it, but that's why it's PG-13, just because of a couple of nastier jokes.
Yeah.
Some sort of terrible treatment of a cow, I think, at one point. All right, David, here is your clue that applies to Drag Me to Hell, Rat Race, or both. Has two cast members who have been on Doug Loves Movies.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. What do you say? Is that your answer?
I'm gonna say both.
Mm.
You say both of those films have had two people on Doug Loves Movies.
I'm gonna say that. I honestly don't know too much about Rat Race, but I know it has a big cast, so someone in there has to, I'm assuming.
There's a lot of rats in the race. Yeah. That's for damn sure. But that's where they spend all their money. They don't really run into too many interesting characters along the way. It's mostly the racers themselves are the known ones. And unfortunately, David, that answer is incorrect. Both is not the correct answer. It's either Drag Me to Hell or Rat Race that has two cast members that have been on Doug Loves Movies. Greg Wyszynski, what is your guess?
I'm gonna just play the odds here and say it might be the movie with 1,000 comedians. So I'll go Rat Race.
You know, it's an interesting approach you just took. And it's a perilous one because that is incorrect.
Wow, no.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, if Chad has the ability to remember which of the three answers has not been given.
How crazy would it be if I didn't?
The game is his. It's happened, dude.
I'm gonna say Drag Me to Hell.
As it turns out, Justin Long, that's the obvious one. Right. He's been on a bunch of times. But then an actress named Chloe Dykstra, who's been on this show and Getting Dug with High, she has a small part in the film as well. And then in the motion picture Rat Race, no comedians from Rat Race have ever been on Doug Loves Movies. But Amy Smart, strangely enough, has been on Doug Loves Movies. So she's the one from Rat Race, and we got two from Drag Me to Hell. So congratulations, Chad. You just walked away with that game.
Wow.
How are you feeling? It feels like you didn't even break a sweat.
I'm feeling like my memory is just phenomenal. My memory is top notch.
Can you do a celebratory tuck and roll?
I can do it virtually. Whoa! I just did.
Oh, damn! It felt like you really did it.
Yeah, it was wild.
All right, just for fun, let's because I'm not gonna play this game again. Here's the next round. It was gonna be is available on Amazon Prime for $3.99.
Oh,
okay. Starts to smell like I'm doing an advertisement, but I'm not. I just looked them up, the movies, to see, you know, where you could watch them and how much it would cost. And so either one or both of them is available for $3.99 on Amazon Prime. David, we'll start with you just for fun. Which one do you think, is it one or the other or both?
Okay. Well, I like most of these questions. I know it's Drag Me to Hell because I recently rented it on Amazon for $3.99. Wow. I guess I'm just going to stick with my answer and say both.
Well, that's so funny that even with knowledge, even knowledge can bring you failure.
Oh, no.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You knew what you were talking about, but also that's kind of set a trap for you because, Drag Race Rat Race, excuse me, is also available on Amazon Prime, but it's $2.99. It's a buck cheaper.
Oh.
Yeah. So
I'll say Drag Me to Hell, Doug.
The answer is just Drag Me to Hell. That is correct. That is correct. Greg is on the board. And then the last one was going to be, and you guys can all just jump in with your opinions on this one. I always look at the running times because I think it's hilarious if I pick two movies that happen to have the same running time. And it felt like these should have about the same running time considering what, you know, what they're about and what they're like. And so the answer to this one is 1 hour, 52 minutes long. Is that Drag Me to Hell, Rat Race, or both?
I'm going to say Rat Race.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Drag Me to Hell.
I'm going to jump on the Rat Race train.
It turns out it is Drag Me to Hell.
All right.
What? I feel like Rat Race was like super short. Was it super short?
You cut me off. As I was going to say, Drag Me to Hell is 1 hour, 39 minutes.
And
Rat Race is 1 hour, 52 minutes.
Oh, okay. There we go.
But yeah, but is it, it's still... it feels like their Rat Race is a little too long and Drag Me to Hell might be a little too short or just right.
I think it's just right.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. That's why I just assume they both come in at about 90 minutes. So it's actually surprised they both push the 90 minute barrier, which used to be like a barrier that, you know, people rarely pushed. And now you hardly ever see a 90 minute movie.
Yeah.
Unless it's independent or something. Especially if it's going to play in the theaters, it's got to be fucking 2 hours, and a half hours long, and then, you know, 2:45 with trailers.
Well, they had to squeeze in that Smash Mouth performance, you know.
I mean, at least it's at the end, you know. At least it wasn't at the starting line.
True. Exactly.
Because then you'd just be like, well, what am I going to stick around till the end for? They're not going to have any Smash Mouth at the end. Or they could have played at both ends, I guess. They could have, you know, because they can fly or something to the next. Doesn't John Cleese's character, he knows where they're supposed to be going all the time, right?
Yeah, so he's got like a plane.
All right, well, we got going into the next game. A gentleman by the name Chad Opitz is in the catbird seat. Only means you get to go first to the next game, Chad, and it's not always an advantageous position. We'll find out what game it is after this break. We'll be right back.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back, and Chad Opitz is glowing. He is looking, he is looking so shiny and red and new after his victory in the Never Will Be Played Again game, Drag Race Me to Hell.
Wow. I was honored maybe to be a part of that.
Maybe I will play it again, maybe, because there might be some other similarities. There might be some other similarities that I didn't explore. But instead, for now, we're going to move on to a different game, a game that I've been enjoying playing very much. I don't know how long we've been playing this one. I don't know how many of my guests have played it, but it's a ripoff of television's Family Feud that I call Filmily Feud. Whoa. And it's mostly film, but often pop culture based questions, posed Family Feud style, where I did a poll of 100 strangers. I asked them these questions and then wrote down the percentages of their answers. Each question has 4 options. So I will present the question and the options to our first player. In this case, it'll be Chad. And then you get first choice between the 4 options. Then we go to David. He has to choose between the remaining 3 and Greg from the remaining 2. And I'll tell you the scores. And we'll move on to the next round where David will get to go first. It'll rotate so that each of you will have an opportunity to go first once. But in the tiebreaker, of course, Chad will get to go first. So that's where winning the last game. That's where the advantage might come. Unlikely, though. So I don't think we have ties. We have ties in this game very often. All right, because the percentages are so specific. So we'll start with you, Chad.
Okay.
Here's what I posited to my Twitter account. I asked, best Betty White? I included RIP for rest in peace. Don't want to be disrespectful. Wasn't saying it to be silly. I really want to know what people think is the best Betty White out of these four choices. Lake Placid, The Proposal, Toy Story 4, or You Again?
Wow.
Yes, the motion pictures of Betty White.
Okay. The motion pictures of Betty White, the best, the highest percentage.
People just answering the question, which is best Betty White? Could be her best performance in it or her best movie that she's in. I don't know what goes through people's heads.
Okay. I'm going to go with Lake Placid.
I mean, just classic ending shot in that movie.
Yes.
Featuring the great Betty White and just showcasing her love of animals.
over people
definitely over people. Like, she plays a character that definitely likes animals more than people. All right, so Chad's going Lake Placid on our asses, and that brings to David the options of The Proposal, Toy Story 4, or You Again.
All right, I'm for sure going with The Proposal.
Okay. What? Sandy Bullock and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah, and just the, like, Betty White's face when she watches Sandra Bullock sing to the window to the wall is priceless. Like, that's good Betty White right there.
Betty White's going to bring quality to everything, but it is her participation in The Proposal is pretty memorable. Ryan Reynolds, he's been in love with her ever since.
Right.
And
I mean, who wouldn't be?
She just seems like a terrific lady in every possible respect. The not having kids and being super into animals is, you gotta love her on both of those counts. Her husband died. She went 30 years to see him again in heaven. I hope that's really a thing, because that'd be cool. It's not, though, right? All right, Greg. What do you want, Slappy? You want Toy Story 4 or You Again?
Well, I think I would probably... I'll go with Toy Story 4, her iconic role in Toy Story 4. I don't remember her being in it. Was she like a box of marbles or something? I don't know.
I was wondering.
But
She plays old Dolly or something. I don't
know. She plays a dinosaur. I looked it up because I saw she was in it, and it's called dinosaur. Like Bitey White.
Bitey White? Bitey
White. That's pretty good.
Wow. All right. So there you go. But Toy Story 4, obviously, for her iconic role as Bitey White.
Yeah, I didn't know when I was preparing this that I had a Toy Story 4 authority in the mix.
I saw she was in it and I was like, no, she's not. And then apparently she is.
She was.
So my feelings exactly. And then You Again is a comedy with Jamie Lee Curtis and several other ladies, I guess. And I heard it's not too good. So makes sense that only got 3% of the action in this poll. Coming in with 14% is good old Bitey White's Toy Story 4.
Bitey White.
So, Greg, you're on the board with 14%. That's better than 3%. That's for damn sure.
A lot better.
Yeah. Next in line in this poll was, you guys just knocked him off in order, The Proposal at 27%. So as you can imagine, that leaves a lot for Lake Placid and Chad. I was kind of surprised because the proposal's so popular. But again, Lake Placid really underlines Betty and how important she was to animals, because I'm sure that that big old alligator is probably not going to survive without her help in Lake Placid. So Lake Placid got 56%. So Chad is in the lead, strong lead with 56 points to David's 27 and Greg's 14. But anything can happen in Filmily Feud. I don't have the, you know,
that was beautiful.
I wish I could go to the theme music. All right. David, are you ready for round two?
As I'll ever be.
All right. It's that winning attitude that really does it. maybe some people will sense where this is going, but I asked best Sidney Poitier. R.I.P. We lost a couple of great 90-year-olds this last week. And here are the four films that I gave people to choose from on the poll. This was based on the, what were the four most popular on IMDb, but I don't want an algorithm. I wanted to take it to the real people. Mm-hmm. So,
streets.
Yeah. So here are
the streets
here,
of Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah. In alphabetical order, the options are The Defiant Ones, Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, Lilies of the Field, or In the Heat of the Night.
Ooh.
Yes. David, which one of those classic Sidney Poitier motion pictures do you feel might have gotten the most love in a poll?
I'm going to go with Guess Who's Coming to Dinner.
Okay. That's one of the four options.
It is.
There's so many, like,
so hopefully it should get me at least some points.
Right. Catherine Hepburn and Spencer Tracy, and he shows up, their white daughter shows up with a black man, Sidney Poitier, for dinner. And of course, just a cultural milestone in so many respects. Greg Wyszynski, of the three remaining Sidney Poitier jams, which one's got your eye? Which one are you looking at?
Well, real ones know the answer is Sneakers, but that wasn't one of the
choices. Yeah, it's funny. Sneakers is not mentioned as much in his bios as it should be. Like, but these four are really like so big for him for different reasons. But yeah, Sneakers is definitely should have been a contender.
I see we're doing good on time, so I'll just say one of my favorite things in a movie ever is when Redford's thrown in the trunk in Sneakers and he knows where he was taken because of the separation between the planks on a wooden bridge that he's hearing while he's in the trunk. It's like, it's a fucking brilliant little movie. I really do that movie.
Yeah, and he's lucky that they went across that bridge.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's like, if it's like the Verrazano, he's screwed. All right, I'll take say the choices again. Sorry.
The choices are Lilies of the Field, The Defiant Ones, or In the Heat of the Night.
I'll go In the Heat of the Night based on name recognition.
That's where he famously says, you know, call me Mr. Tibbs. And they even made a sequel called They Call Me Mr. Tibbs. I never have met a Mr. Tibbs, but I certainly would think of that movie if I did.
It's the off-brand Mr. Pibb, from what I understand. Mr. Tibbs.
That's why he's so angry when he says it. Chad,
yeah.
You got Lilies of the Field or The Defiant Ones.
Yeah.
Which one of those two?
You haven't heard of another Mr. Tibbs because they had to retire the name after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's the only one Mr. Tibbs.
Mm-hmm. Right, but how you don't retire last names.
Oh, they did it. It's crazy.
it was a controversial decision, but they did it.
It'd be amazing if that's the way it worked in sports, where they retire the last name, not the number. Like, there could never be another Smith on the team.
You can't. Yeah, that name just can't exist anymore. That'd be amazing. I guess with those two choices, I'll go Defiant Ones.
Okay. I believe that's the movie where he and Tony Curtis are like handcuffed to each other and they escape from prison.
Like a chain gang thing, I think.
Yeah. I love that. That's you're being defiant if you break out of prison.
That's true. Defiance.
Yeah. You're going to need a timeout after that little breakout that you pulled. All right. So here we go. Let's start with Lilies of the Field, because it came in fourth. You smelled a rat on that one. Nobody fell for it. Nobody fell for Lilies of the Field, but I am going to use Lilies of the Field. The closing line of Lilies of the Field is going to be my closing line of the show today. Just teasing that coming up a little bit later.
Can't wait.
Yeah, really is a reason to stick around. people are just going to hear it at the end and go, what did he say that was from? All right. Coming in with 10% of the vote was the Poor Defiant Ones. But Chad, you're still in great shape because of that first answer. You're still at 66 total points. And then the next in line in the poll was Guess Who's Coming to Dinner. Scored 23% of the vote, which brings David to a grand total of 50. Also pretty strong score at this point. And then the number one choice, again, might be that name recognition that Slappy was talking about. In the heat of the night, 59%.
Wow.
Bringing Greg Slapshot Wyszynski to a total of 63%. So it's a close battle. This is very exciting. And Greg gets to go first in this third and final round. Are you ready, Greg?
Oof. Oh, sure. Why not?
What if he was just like, no?
I'm telling you, David's attitude is just spreading. It's contagious. this is what I posted on Twitter. I just asked the question, best Daniel Craig Bond RIP. Because we all assume that he's not going to be James Bond anymore. And I put four of his movies in the poll. He's done five, of course. So Quantum of Solace, I just take it the assumption that that would finish in fifth in any sane person's ranking of Daniel Craig. It's got some good parts like most James Bond movies, but I toss that one aside. So the options are Casino Royale, No Time to Die, Skyfall, and Spectre. Of those four, Greg, which one do you think people think is the best?
This is a real fascinating question, Doug, because I know what I consider to be the best, but there is a strong undercurrent of people that don't rate Skyfall ahead of Casino Royale, which is what is giving me pause right here. But I got to be true to what I believe is his best. And I have to believe the Skyheads are going to back the movie enough to put it over Casino Royale. So I'll go Skyfall here. I think it's like a perfect encapsulation of not only the Daniel Craig Bond, but everything I like about Bond.
Hang on a second. Did you hear that?
No, what was that?
Oh, okay. I had an alarm go off. And it was a music alarm. So I thought, oh, no, it's going to be heard on this thing. that I have my alarm set to a Taylor Swift song. I was ready to be very embarrassed.
You scared me. I thought it was going to be like, we just got word that Daniel Craig died.
this just in.
I was like, oh no.
I keep a news blast going during the show, and I'll update you if anybody dies. But that's what happens when you tape on Sunday afternoon. You know, they usually hold it for Monday because, you know, it's for the next news cycle.
Yeah. Are you going to come clean and tell us what Taylor Swift song it was?
Yeah, it was Look What You Made Me Do.
Wow.
Because I just like that comes up. Like, I'm already, you know, I don't like setting alarms in general. So whenever I do set one, you know, I like that you can make it a song or whatever. But that one also just, I like that it's kind of scolding me for, you know, even needing an alarm to wake up. You know?
I was wondering if it was from the perspective of the alarm saying, look what you made me do. I had to wake you up. Or if it was from your perspective saying, look what you made me do. Now I have to turn you off. I couldn't figure out who was making the other one do something.
No, yeah, it's the alarms making me wake up, but they're, you know. They're mad about it for some reason. All right. Skyfall. That's the one where it turns into Home Alone at the end?
It does, yes. The, you know, the Albert wet Finn. Bandits attack. He hits Javier Bardem in the face with a paint can on a string, I believe, at one point. It's great.
All right. So Greg gets Skyfall. Chad, what do you think? Casino Royale, Spectre, or No Time to Die?
I want to add about the Skyfall. I think that has by far the best cinematography in a Bond movie. And Roger Deakins, man, he's great. Casino Royale.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it's got one of the most meaningful opening themes in Skyfall, because it's like, when you skyfall, therefore skyfall. What'd you pick, Chad?
Casino Royale.
Chad's going Casino Royale. I like it. A gambling man. Yes. all right. So let's see here. David, your options are Spectre or No Time to Die.
Yeah. I guess I'll go with No Time to Die, since it's newest, and also Spectre kind of sucks a little bit.
Yeah, what is this thing where people seem to not be that into Spectre, or Spectre, if you will? What? Why do you think people aren't into it?
What's his name? I can't think of the actor's name. I just want to say Hans Landa, and I know that's...
Oh, Christoph Waltz?
Christoph Waltz, yeah.
Yeah. They wasted him in that movie.
He's great in everything, but he just feels like he's, you know, there.
Is he the one, does he take out his teeth or something?
No. You're thinking of Javier Bardem. Skyfall.
No, it's incoherent shit, and retcons... It retcons Blofeld to being like what Bond's like cousin or some shit.
Brother,
like
it's a or something. Whole, yeah.
It's so dumb. Yeah, it's not very, but it did have, it's one that did have the opening at the Day of the Dead, right? Like that was probably the best part of that movie. And then it was sort of downhill from there.
Oh, is that the one where he's like on a roof and he just like walks off the roof because the building collapses out from under him?
Yeah, I think that's the one.
That's pretty corny.
there's much more corn to come in that flick, but it's not. It ain't very good. So, congrats! I think you did a good, smart thing there, taking the movie people liked out of those two.
All right,
I think that makes sense. When you're voting the best of something, it feels like you should pick the one that people liked more.
Yeah, avoid the worst of it.
Yes. Yeah. That's a great strategy. I think you all applied a great strategy. We ended up having a terrific game. Here's how the scores break down for best Daniel Craig, James Bond. As everybody sussed out, Spectre got only 4% of the vote. But man, can you imagine the nerve of that 4% to like pick that movie over those other three? So good for them, those people that did that. And then No Time to Die, I guess it's too new, or I haven't seen it, but I've been hearing mostly positive things, but it only secured 5% of the vote.
Wow.
Oh boy. Holy
smokes.
I feel like it's because they haven't seen it. That's my opinion. So that's only 5%. So that brings your total, David, to 55. And then Skyfall is next with 37% of the vote, which brings Greg to a very impressive 110 points total. But Casino Royale, it's a real misstep there for you, Greg, sticking with your gut and sticking with stupid Skyfall.
The Sky Heads let him down?
Casino Royale heads really came to the fore and gave it 54% of the vote, which gives Chad a grand total of 120, and it makes Chad our new champion today.
Damn.
Well done. Whoa. Wait, can I get a Greg trumpet?
Fuck off. clearly you saw I was listening to my chips. I had a little blood coming from my eye. You saw my tell, and you selected the right movie. Kudos to you. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that was a terrific win on Chad's part. Perfect timing, because I can bring the trophy to you in San Francisco next weekend.
Hell yeah.
When we perform together at the Punchline. But Chad, what other plugs do you have to make? You got to go first in the plugs.
Oh my God. I'm going to be doing a festival in Boise in March called the Tree Fort Festival.
Neat.
I'll be performing comedy there. That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
End of March.
I think that is a good one. And I like going to that, that town whenever I get the opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, they need some comedy there.
They do.
The cool people there need some comedy. And yeah, like I said, Chad, I'll see you Saturday at the Punchline in San Francisco, and we'll have you back on this show real soon, as you are now an official dangling champ.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it.
But let's talk to our other two terrific champs. You know, as Greg was saying earlier, these roads have to come to an end. And David Sanborn, have you got anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, sure. I have my Instagram, where you can see pictures of my dog and things I bake occasionally. I'm attempting banana bread this week, so we'll see how that goes. And then also, I took Alex Edelman's recommendation from last week to watch A New Leaf this week, and I enjoyed it. So go ahead and watch it. It was delightful.
That's great. I love that. Oh, I hope somebody else does that with somebody else's recommendation. That's fun. And we'll hope to see you again on the show sometime. Oh my God. Taylor Swift just went off again.
What?
You didn't hear it.
No.
Yeah, I guess it keeps going into like snooze mode or something. I don't know what's happening. But anyway, next time it happens, I'm not going to mention it. I'm just going to be a professional. I'm going to be a pro about it, but I panic because I worry about like incoming calls and stuff throwing me off of a Zoom thing like this. So we'll see you again soon, David. And then Greg Wyshynski, plug away, sir.
You can find my stuff on ESPN.com. I'm on a TV show called Daily Wager most days during the week on ESPN2. And for my pop culture stuff, you can go to patreon.com/pucksoup, PUCKSOUP. I just did an episode of our podcast, Overrated, Underrated, Favorite, Least Favorite, with former Doug Loves Movies panelist Josh Gondelman, who I met actually at 12 Guests of Christmas. Very funny dude, one of my favorite people. And we did the most overrated, underrated, favorite, least favorite of diner food and shellfish. So you can check that episode on patreon.com/bucksin.
Wow. Yeah. Josh Gondelman, past and future guest on Doug Loves Movies. You made it sound like he's never going to be on again.
Oh, no, no, no. He's clearly going to be on. He's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, you don't know if he's going to be on, but I'm telling you.
But you just said he was. Oh, Doug, come on. Now you're just turning me in circles. Josh has been on the show, and there's every opportunity he could be on the show if Doug sees him fit there.
No, he's more than fit. He's better than us. I'll reiterate that we're returning to San Diego, going to try again at the American Comedy Company on Saturday, February 5th. And that next Saturday, I'm doing stand-up at the Punchline in San Francisco with Chad Opitz and other special guests. Yeah. And people who have tickets to Sketchfest, they're good for the new dates next year, so hang on to them or turn them in if you're not feeling lucky. If you're feeling like a whole year from now might circumstances might change. And thanks,
you're really selling these shows nicely.
I know, right? Once again, thank you to Greg Wyszynski, David Sanborn, and Chad Opitz. As always, this is a short one, Ryan. Get ready. Amen.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, 'cause Doug.